Isaiah 6. So we're trying to close up the book of Ephesians. Teaching we started sometime last year. We're not done. We're trying to be done. Isaiah 6, which is our starting text. So I say, why are you starting Ephesians from Isaiah? Because they are saying the same thing. Isaiah 6, 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. This is Isaiah talking, and he says, God was looking for someone to send. And he said, here I am, send me. But you know what he said before that time? In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. What did I see about the Lord? He is asking, who shall I send? Again, we have explained this before. Many of you have thought this as the year Uzziah died, he saw the Lord. So someone has to die before you can see something. And I've seen prayer points raised from here. Say, nothing happens without something. That in the spirit realm, you have to give something to collect something. I don't know what you're saying, but Jesus will not collect anything from you. Amen? Come on, amen? Alright. He said, you have to give something to collect something. That there, nothing goes for nothing. I don't know where you saw that in God's word. Nothing goes for nothing. Isaiah chapter 92. So again, that some nonsense talk. Alright. But observe what he's saying. What he was saying is, of course, Uzziah was Isaiah's cousin. We have looked at all of that. Isaiah himself lived in the palace with the king. But then suddenly his cousin died, which is Uzziah. And he now says, in the year that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. What did he see about the Lord exactly? That God's kingdom does not end. Because a kingdom just ended. So he's saying, Uzziah's death made him realize that no matter how powerful and how noble and how gracious a man can be, his kingdom ends here. In the year Uzziah died, he now saw that the Lord's kingdom is everlasting. Does that make sense? We have taught this over 3 weeks. Just get the part one. I think Ephesians is in part, not series. I mean, part one, part two, yeah, in part three now. Alright. So, just get the earlier part. This is part three. Get the part one. You would understand better. Alright? But the very core of what we are looking at is Isaiah 6:8. Whom shall I send? Then he says, send me. And what does that tell you? That tells you, this is very much what I'm about to say. That God does not come to any man to talk. God speaks through men. If you don't know how to listen to man, you cannot know how to listen to God. I will say something, that if you are not available for man, you can't be available for God. Listening to God is listening to the men he has sent. And so God is going to save Israel, and he didn't say, I'm going to come in a cloud of fire or whatever. Nah. He will say, who should I send? Isaiah said, send me. Yeah, ma, send me. There's that song. Here I am only available. You know it? As for me, I will send the... I'm available. Amen? And so, God uses men. Imperfect, as it may be, error prone, as you people say, human after all. Amen. Amen. And because of a few bad oranges, some have neglected the faith. What I'm saying is, because you have had people who are not pastors, but claim to be pastors, and they've said some things, they've done some things. There was a video one time, someone who claimed to be a pastor, I don't think that was a pastor. Because how can you be washing people with Fanta? That's not even false doctrine. You are clowning. Fanta. We have less water baptism. It's not Fanta baptism. Well, that's fine. Now we have to drink it and baptize it. Amen. You know, and you see all of those one pastor somewhere did this, one pastor somewhere did that. And the chances are that one may want to start thinking somehow. And start saying, are there even people who love the Lord? Is there anything like church? Is there, you know, especially during 2020. And that was the time the devil wanted to attack a lot of things. A whole lot of attack on the church. You know, especially during the lockdown pandemic and all of that, and people started saying, there's no need for church again. And we started praying against that. We started praying around that. How can you say there's no need for church? I'm going to die. Not because I'm getting money from church, amen? I don't get money from church, alright? So don't say, oh, so you get not a couple. But how do we live without fellowshipping with one another? How do we live without hearing God's word? You know, and some people are saying, you know God for yourself. You don't want to do that. You don't want that mother to start knowing God for himself. That's going to be trouble. He knows it himself. That would be the God of shawarma. He will never take a single fast in a year. Damo. Is it true? He won't take a single fast. What's prayer VG? Some of you know it too well that if there was no church, you probably not do a single VG in the year. Yes or yes? Yes. Who will force you? You know, you just come, I'm going to do a VG today. And then you start by, I'm going to do a rally, right? Then you start by 8 o'clock. And then when it gets 9 o'clock, you say, I believe and receive that you have heard me. I know you, Lord. You are faithful and merciful. Just. Amen. I receive. Are there 10? But all of that is not happening because we have the church. We have one another to strengthen. Even though sometimes it's not, nobody's strengthening you in a prayer rally. But we have one another to keep in check. Does that make sense? But what I'm saying is that God will always use men. Not any kind of man. Alright? God doesn't use... Let me just say this one. I think we said it in Galatians. Someone has asked me before that, does God speak through a mad person? The only person that can speak through a mad person is a demon. Let me answer that one. Clear now. Don't start asking again. God only speaks where his spirit is. Do you hear that? God only speaks where his spirit is. So where his spirit is absent, the voice of God is absent. Someone said, but someone gave me a good advice one time, and he's not born again. Well, a good advice can be good. Doesn't make it godly. That makes sense? You can have a good advice that is not godly. And good advice are not bad. An unbeliever can give you an advice. But you can't say that someone who is indwelt by, what do you call a familiar spirit, right? A familiar spirit or a demon or someone who is mad, now has the spirit of God in him, how? And then God is now talking. Just say you want Baba Jebu number. And he's going to give it to you. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So God only speaks where his spirit is. And why are we looking at this? Because we are about to look at a book called Ephesians. And the man who is writing it, we are looking at the authority by which he can write. When someone sits in the seat of a judge, you must ask, are you a judge? Right? When someone comes in the hospital, even though some of you don't know anything, anytime you don't get to the hospital, anybody that is wearing white, sir. Like a story that I heard one time, a madman escaped from a psychiatric ward. So he took one of the doctor's coats, and he wore the clinical coat, the white. And everybody was calling him, sir. It reminded me of one of the clerking I went to do when I was a student at what word is that? E1 psychiatry word. And the man, I can't say madman, the patient was telling me, he said, you, I know you. You can't know me. He said, you, is E1 now? Is it C1? Are that right? He said, you, I know you. I don't know you. He said, now carry that chair. Ah. And they don't tie them. You know, it's a recovery word, really. It's not the chronic cases. It's rehab, more like recovery center for people who are into drugs and that, or emotional disturbance, and depression, suicidal attempts, so that. But this one, I don't think it's suicidal attempt. This one is, he's a real patient. You carry that chair. And he's far from the door. So he left his bed. I carry chair. Yeah, put on your head. How can you say God is talking to you now? I mean, as you look back like this, Jackpot. How did I get here? Eh? So, yeah, authority. So again, you can't see that kind of person now wear a white coat. And you say you want to get COVID vaccine, second vaccine. He's going to give you more than vaccine. He's going to give you the fifth vaccine. I think there's fourth now. Yeah, they're saying in the UK now you have to take the fourth. So the first, second, third, fourth. So that's some money. Alright. Money is generated. But it's fine. I'm not saying you don't, please go take your vaccine. Amen? Amen? Alright. You're not going to be able to travel or take some jobs in the coming years without it. Alright. It's not 66. It's in case you want to hear. Pastor, I want to hear what you have to say. Is it 66? 777. That's GT Bank. Alright. So again, we have to verify the authority that Paul has to write to a church. You can't just wake up one morning and say you want to write Ephesians or Lagosians. What authority do you have? And so we start looking at the fact that number one, God will use a man. So God is not going to come to the church in Ephesus and talk to them directly. Nah, he's going to send a man. In this case, it is Paul the apostle. Later on, in the book of Revelation, we saw that God sent John, right? Jesus sent John in Revelation chapter 3. He sent John to the church in Ephesus. Chapter 2. The church in Ephesus who forgot the apostle law, right? Right? And they were going about judging others, rebuking people, but they forgot their first law, right? So again, God will always send a man. And so Paul has the authority and he qualifies to speak to the church. On what grounds? Number one, we said, you have to be chosen. Was Paul chosen by God? Eh? Yeah, he was chosen. Again, he has to be authorized by the 12, right? 12 includes Matthias, anyway. He has to be authorized by the 12. Even Matthias will be saying, please, just leave me out of this thing. And we saw that Peter authorized Paul, right? James did. The church in Jerusalem did in Acts 15. Peter did in Galatians 2. James did in Acts 15. Alright? Okay, so that said, let's look at the book of Galatians, of Ephesians. I'll just quickly summarize, because we're already in chapter 5, in case you don't know. I'll quickly summarize where we are and what we have done so far, so that we can move. Are you there? Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So we said, saints is not a title you give to dead people. Someone does not have to die to be a saint. Every believer in Christ. To the faithful in Christ Jesus. Of course, faithful means to those who have had faith in Christ Jesus. Or to those who have believed in Christ Jesus. He calls them saints. So we can have saints to me. That's saints to me. You can have saints Anu. You can have saints Osoke. How does that one sound? Saint Osoke. Yeah, I don't think that one is saintly. Saint Orwell sounds fine. Saint faith does not sound well. Can never sound well. Everybody knows why. I saw a meme. Can someone marry someone that was formerly mad? A Twitter post. Someone had commented, said there's nothing wrong in marrying a Chelsea fan. And I liked it and I shared it. Alright? So, that's why you can't be a saint. But, you know, saint is not a title you give to those who are dead. It's not just for Peter, it's not for Mary, it's not for Ignatius or Donatus or those tus. A saint is a believer in Christ. That makes sense? Does that make sense? Say, grace be to you and peace from God our Father. If you don't understand grace and peace, go listen to Galatians. From the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Say, he has blessed us. With all spiritual blessings in every place. So again, God has blessed us. So, Galatians is a book of blessedness in Christ. It's a book that shows that we are blessed. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Again, don't forget this blessing is not money. Don't misinterpret it. It's not a blessing in, how do you use it? Heavenly blessing that you have to convert to physical. You know, that's just, you just say nonsense when you want the money. There are heavenly blessings, there are spiritual blessings But you have to combat them, like Biru the change. You have to combat them to physical blessings. Ah! Say by prayer. Say not just prayer, praises. Because when praises go up, blessings come down. Stupid things Christians say. Christians say. Where did the Bible say when praises go up, blessings come down? That's one of the number one gibberish that you hear in a decade. And now everyone has those who have themselves. Cleanness is next to godliness. You know, some people think that's in the Bible. Which one again? Come on, give me. I think we're going to teach that, right? Stupid things Christians say. Like it on Thursday. Very stupid. When praises go up, blessings come down. Which one do you hear that time? Winners don't complain, they comply. That sounds like all these people that always say, bring to. Sorry if you are doing it, I'm sorry. I don't have two people to bring. Two disciples. Amen.
Amen.
I'm ready. Alright, so it's not heavenly blessings so that it can be turned to physical. No, it is actually heavenly blessings. Blessings by the Spirit. So you must not see blessing as money or as what was that we used to call it? Something that enables you to prosper, right? There's something we used to call it. So you don't see blessing as anything that someone say blessing. You see that empowerment to prosper. No. You know, someone say God bless you. You say amen, amen. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying amen. If you tell me God bless you, I'll say amen. Who doesn't want that? You know, but when you start saying that all God's blessing is towards money or fame or whatever, then you're wrong. You know, forgiveness of sin is the blessing we're talking about. So we started seeing the blessing that Paul talked about. He said he has blessed us with all blessings of the Spirit. And these blessings are in Christ. If unbelievers can have money, then money is not a blessing. If unbelievers can have fame, then fame is not the blessing. If unbelievers can have wealth, then wealth is not the spiritual blessing. I think that is common sense. Because we have an age and a time where people just go to church because they want to have money. People go to church, people serve the Lord, not serve the Lord, people attend service and all that, all in the name of, maybe if I do this, God is going to do something for me back. In fact, people give offerings so that they can get something back. And that is deception. It's one of the stupid things Christians say. When you give to God, He will give to you back. Shaking measure. Press down. Press down. I'll quickly give offering of 100,000 so that I can press down to 500,000. You are just a greedy person who does not love the Lord. Let's talk about it. If there's someone that should be saying that, a pastor should be telling you to give, have you? Should the pastor not be telling you to give so that I can press down? But I'm not telling you that. That's nonsense. You don't give so that you can get something back from God. You give so that God's work can prosper. Yeah. So we are giving so that we can have more materials, right? We can have more gospel materials. We can record more messages. We can translate messages to other languages. That's why we are giving. We are giving so that we can help the needy. We are giving so that we can help the church set up more instruments. No, that's why we are giving. We are not giving so that we can get anything back. And so, when you hear blessedness next time, maybe you should rethink it. It is not the ability to prosper. It is what God has already done for you. See, I'm blessed. And that's why some believers cannot relate with it because they feel, I don't have cash now. Pastor, what are you saying? I'm blessed. I don't even transport it back home. And you're saying I'm blessed. How am I blessed? No, I'm blessed. So he explains the blessing. He said, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Then in verse 4, he starts mentioning the blessings. Except you are not born again, or you don't understand the gospel, then they will not mean blessings to you. But the number one blessing said, he has chosen us in him. He has chosen us in him from the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him. So he has chosen us that we should be holy. Say, I'm holy. Say, I'm holy. Some say, No man is holy. Nobody is holy, no. Because holiness is not what you do. It is what you're called. We have explained this in the first part of Ephesians. It's not what you do. It is what a third party calls you. You can't do anything to be holy. I gave you an illustration of when I was growing up, I had my dad's cup. You know? And that cup, it was this teaching, right? It was Ephesians. Right? And I told you that my friend came around, and because that was the finest cup in our house, you know, when you want to impress your friend, you've gone to lie in school. That you have money in your family. And we didn't have money. In fact, we had one center table like that. I'm always ashamed of that center table. I always go and hide it. When anyone is coming, but right now, all of those things don't matter. You know? And so when my friend came, I said, I'm going to serve him with my father's cup. You will know that at least there's something special in this house. So I gave him the cup. Unfortunately for me, my dad came around. And I think he came back from work to just pick something. And as he entered, he did not see it. But as he was going inside, because there's a place that Andy saw the rooms from the parlor, he just took a glance at me. Ah, that glance is the deadly one. So, as he came out, I told my friend, if you are okay with life, let's go. Just say, what's the issue? Don't worry. Let's go and play ball. So I let him out. By the time I came back, my dad, where is that your friend? Why is he in my cup? And I was like, oh, I got the beating of my life, that's fine. But what happened is that he treated that cup as special. And that is what holiness means. Holiness means this is separate. Holiness does not mean this is pure. Holiness does not mean this is 100% clean. Something else means that one. That one is righteous. That you are not guilty, that's righteousness. You are justified, that's 100% not guilty. But when you say holiness, holiness means this is different. It's what God called that ground in Exodus 3. Moses, the ground you are standing on is holy ground. The ground did nothing. The ground did not do anything. Why would God call the bread that David ate in the temple? He said, holy bread. Come on. What did the bread do to be holy? Pray? No. What did the ground do to be holy? Pray? Love the Lord, serve the Lord, preach the gospel. No! The ground is holy because God is on it. The bread is holy because it is separated to the temple. So holiness means this is separated for God's use. For God's use. Does that make sense? Come on, does that make sense? So it doesn't mean this is pure. It doesn't mean this is perfect. It means this is God's. Then he says, you are holy and without blame. So it goes with both ways. Now you are separate to God, and because of that separation, you are justified. That is the blessing. It's a blessing. He has chosen us to be holy and without blame before him in love. He has predestinated us. He has predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus to himself. According to the good pleasure of wisdom. And we start looking at the predestination. Because it's a term that a lot of people confuse. When you say he has predestinated us, someone has said, does this mean that God knows everybody that will be saved? Because if Paul says, excuse me, he has predestinated us, does that mean God knows that Bumi will be saved, and AY will be saved, and Faith will not be saved? Is it that God already knows that? So, why are we preaching? Some people's weakness, or wickedness, have said that only 144,000 people will be in paradise, or whatever paradise means. What do I say? You heard what I said, sir. There are only 144,000 people will be in paradise with the Lord. I remember the day one person came to me and told me that trash. I said, so why are you coming to me? He said, so that you can be one of the 144,000. I said, since all these years, 144,000 has not completed. This is what century now? 21st? So we have had 1 to 20 century and 144,000 people have not completed. Let's plus minus the 12. Those ones are already automatic candidates. Peter, James, John. These guys died for the gospel. Come on. Then let's start adding Timothy, Silas, Mark, Luke, Philemon, Onesimus. Onesimus doesn't look like it. Okay, let's remove him. Barnabas. By the time we are done adding, Moses is there. You don't remove Moses too. Abraham. By the time we are even done adding, we already have 1,000. Kenneth Hagin and Roman. You know? And you think I, because it was Ibadan, my friend's place, He said, you think I am part of the 144,000? I said, are you part? He said, he doesn't know. He's not sure. You are not even sure of your own and you are bringing it to me. Get away with your horse. So we said, we lost the dog, of course. That's what we do. Don't mind me. I lost the dog and said, today. If you cannot guarantee me that part of 144,000, you're not going anywhere. So you have to preach like God's word says. So why would you say we are predestinated? So it's a confused terminology because you cannot, I'm saying that, that you cannot say that some people have been chosen. Because if some people have been chosen, he will not say to you, go into the world and preach the gospel. He will just tell you, don't worry. I already have the DC list. That's how someone deceived me one time. He said, help me process admission. Oh, hey, first list came out. He said, it's not first list. I doesn't do first list. Okay, sir. Supplementary list one came out. He said, it's not supplementary list. Supplementary list two came out. He said, that's not what, that the rich would have mouth. They come out with the DC list. And when that one came out, he said, a week before matric. So a DC list came out. They asked for the low officers. And there's one coming out on matric money. Mumumi. Me too, matric money. I dressed up that. The list will come out, I just take bus with it. Nothing came out. You got it? I jump close. And some of you must have heard that kind of story before. I jump close. Are you saying with a serious face? You promised me. You know, so Jesus could have had his own list, a DC list, and say, you know what? 144,000 people. Faith is number. All Chelsea fans. Bad. All Arsenal fans. Sick. Glory to God. Glory to God. Aha. See, hallelujah. Yeah. So, you know, but that's not what predestination means. And we started looking at what is predestination. So we started looking at Cain and Abel. Adam, right? Was Adam predestined to disobey God? Answer the question. Was he predestined to disobey God or he disobeyed God? How did we know? Because you should say, but God was the one that said, don't eat of this tree. Yeah? But that doesn't mean I have placed the tree for you to eat. And we said, that was not God warning him. God was giving him an information, right? That was not a threat. The day you eat of it, you will die. That's an information. It's the same way you tell someone today, if you don't believe the gospel, you don't have the life of God. If you don't believe the gospel, you are not saved. You are not giving a threat. But by bringing the news, you have judged the person. The gospel itself is judgment. Because the moment you hear it, you cannot say you did not hear it. So, the gospel will judge. And that's why Jesus will tell the apostles in John 20, that whosoever sins you retain are retained. How do you retain sins? By preaching the gospel to someone and he will not believe. You have retained their sins. Because if you never preach in the first place, they are saved. That makes sense? Does that make sense? Come, we have gone through all of this in salvation through faith. Alright. And explaining God in Christ. So again, predestination. Adam was not predestined to disobey God. Cain and Abel. Was Cain predestined to be a murderer? Eh? No, we even saw that God tried to save him from the sin of unbelief. Murder was not the issue. Bitterness was not the issue. After he killed Abel, God now told him, there's a sin that lies at your door. It's not even this one. I know you are not your brother's keeper, all of those nonsense. But there's a real sin you have not believed. Then we look at the famous one, Jacob and Esau. I just did theology now. Esau and Jacob. Alright. Esau and Jacob. Because many have thought that God loved Jacob. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I. And God said, that was even before they were born. How can you say that God did not predestine it? No. Again, go listen to Ephesians part 1 again. Firstly, the word hate does not mean I don't like you. It means you are not my first choice. It's an old English for preference. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Please. It doesn't mean, if I say, Arsenal have I loved, club that I prefer. Actually, funny enough, it's Manchester United. But, Manchester United have I hated. Now, in old English, it doesn't mean that I detest Man U because, well, right now I detest them, but it doesn't mean that I detest Man U. It means that I don't prefer them to Arsenal. Does that make sense? So it's a word for preference. We already explained that in that first part. So if you want to actually understand this, you need to go back to that. We cannot explain everything we have explained for over 20 hours now again. That makes sense? That makes sense? For the 20 hours, just take it one by one. Alright, so again, predestination is not a word. Another person you look at is Judas. Was Judas predestined to betray Jesus? No! No! Come on. We saw that Judas himself confessed that this is what he did. Again, we're able to look at that. Right? Come on, you remember the teaching, right? So, we're able to look at it. Judas himself said this is what he did. He's the one that did it. Nobody, no spirit entered in. No God said he must do it. No. Someone will betray him, but his name is not Judas. If you have been Peter. Another question that someone will ask is, but Jesus said Peter was going to deny him and he prayed for Peter. Then why didn't he pray for Judas too? I'll leave you to answer that. Because we are going to teach it in Explaining God in Christ, series 3. Alright. So we have explained all of this and we said we are blessed in Christ, right? So he has predestined us. And we said the predestination means what? That every man who will come into Christ will be what? Saved. So read, can we read Ephesians 1, 5 again together? Want to go everybody? Ah, okay. You're not there. You're writing. I'm waiting for you. Ephesians 1, 5. Want to go? To himself according to the what? So again he said he has predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. What is the predestination? Everybody who will be in Christ will be the children of God. That's the predestination. That is, you cannot be in Christ and not be a child of God. So he has predestined every man that will be born again to be a child of God. That's the predestination. Not that he has chosen the people that will be saved. If he has chosen the people that will be saved, then there's no need to preach. I love God's word, right? Do you? This is Bible study. When you go to church, you should have Bible study. I always say that. When you go to church, you should know you went to church. You should listen to Bible like this. When people go to mosque, they hear Arabic, they hear Quran. In fact, you will know that you heard it throughout. When you go to church, church is not, fine, I know we sing and all of that, but church is not primarily for singing, it's not for dancing, it's not for offering, it's not for drama, it's not for what else? Film show, concert. Church is for God's word. Alright. So, we have explained the blessedness. Again, he has predestinated us. He has made us accepted. Verse 6. We have redemption through his blood. Redemption is one that we spent time on, right? To explain, right? Come on, we spend time on redemption. We are forgiven. Verse 7. Forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. We explain the riches of his grace. We explain the wisdom and the prudence he had towards us. And we explain the inheritance that we have in him in verse 14. Now go to chapter 5. I guess that's where we stopped. We start from verse 31. Chapter 4 verse 31 rather. Because that's where the paragraph started from. Can we, chapter 4 verse 31 to chapter 5 verse 2. Are we ready? Ephesians 4:31 to Ephesians 5:2. Want to go? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven. Be you followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. And so Paul is telling you, as someone who God has sent to a church in Ephesus, by implication, everyone who is going to read it, that put away bitterness. You know, we just finished teaching on the fruit of the Spirit. We are not done, apparently, in Ephesians 5, Galatians 5:22. But we are on the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, right? It says, let bitterness be put away from you. You see that attitude of, when someone is not doing well, you are just not happy. When someone is doing well, you are not happy. It's not from God. Especially maybe someone you have dated before. Yeah, I'm coming home. I'm driving it now. What they call it? X. Find X. So, you and this person used to say, I love you. You love me. We are happy family. Yeah. I can never do without you. See all those words? Yeah, I always know that. You will be tested. Oh, I can never do without you. You are the air I breathe. You are royal. That looks like oxygen cylinder. He said, you are the air I breathe. In my heart, there's only one space. That lady had four chambers. There's only one space and it's for you. The same person, after you find out that he's talking to another girl, in his DM, comes and says, I can't believe that he cheats. You're a bastard. Christian, I don't mind. Say, what are you believing about? What? I don't mind. God has forgiven me in Christ. He says, the chances are high that when that person is now doing well, why is he doing well? Evil people don't do well. Now, he says, let bitterness be put away from you. You see why I said it. He says, let all bitterness be put away from you. And evil speaking. And wrath. And anger. Why are you angry? He says, when you are angry, you grieve the Holy Spirit. So grieving the Holy Spirit is not like you are speaking in tongues and you are not, filled. Nah. Grieving the Holy Spirit means you are angry. Because that's the exact opposite of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of peace and reconciliation. So when you go the other way of wrath and anger, you just went outrightly against the resurrection. The resurrection is bringing two parties, God and man, together in one place. Genesis 1-1, Abi? Is that Genesis 1-1? Heaven and earth together, Abi? Then you, with your anger, say, I'm angry! Have you heard Christians say before, say, I don't know what you think of me. I don't get angry easily. I don't get angry easily. But when I do, you're going to think I've met a madman. Calm down. You are actually a madman. No man born of God prides in anger. Now, am I saying you will not get angry at all? Well, that's possible. But chances are that time will come when you're angry. Especially if you are still in school. Have you stayed with some roommates before? Kai. That will leave pot unwashed. Now, when I was in school, I don't cook. I didn't cook at all. I didn't cook throughout my years in school. My face is to cook. Spaghetti. Concussion. I can't say that Jesus doesn't cook. Those ones are cookers. Where were you? Were you cooking? That's, even though you don't have to cook, your food. Try embarrass you here. So I didn't cook at all. Unless I embarrass myself, because the only thing I can cook that is beans. If I cook beans for you, that's just like we need to cook beans that will last 3 days. I mean, a floor. Independent, this is the way people do it. You come out and say, Mofete wow. You don't have beans. So someone will bring beans, someone will bring palm oil, someone will bring maggi, someone will bring salt. Depending on salt, you already know it's ration. It's salt you brought to. Whatever it is salt you brought to. It's Maggie you brought to. You write the name down with what they brought. Maggie, candy, salt. So it's one spoon. You know, so we know how to cook beans and all that. Rice is just come up. So I didn't cook. But I had this roommate that he cooks and he would just leave the pot unwashed. Then sometimes your socks, he puts it on, goes to class. He put on my socks. Now I can't wear it again. Because every time I wear it, I'm in your shoes. And so I told him, I said, why are you doing this to me? Did the devil send you? At the point, you know what? I had one that I used to smoke. My friend knows that one. At the point, I locked him up. I said, he said, Pastor. I said, remember? I locked him. I said, what have I done to you? He said, the next time you smoke in this room, your head is not going to be on your neck. I don't have to kill anybody. I can't kill chicken. I said, but he fears me, right? I was older than him. So, your head is not going to be on your neck. So get yourself straight. You can smoke anywhere you want. You can do anything you want. But when you come to this room, it's you and I. And I can kill you in your sleep. Is that they meet them? I watch myself for sleep. Maybe I'm not going to do first to do. What to do? It's not that I'm about. What am I saying? Now if you have to get interested, I made it so. Alright, so what am I saying? It's possible to get angry. But Paul is saying, put it away from you. You actually can live a life without bitterness. You can live a life without anger. You can live a life without clamor. Now says, Verse 32. Be kind. Be kind, be tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Why? As God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So why am I going to forgive another person? Because God has forgiven me. So He is our ultimate example. He is the ultimate example. He has forgiven us, so we forgive others. He's kind to us, so we'll be kind to others. He's tender-hearted towards us, so we'll be tender-hearted towards others. He's loving towards us, so we'll be loving towards others. Then it tells you in chapter 5 verse 1, be imitators. The world follower, mimitos. Be imitators. That is, copies. Be followers of God as dear children. Walk in love, as Christ has loved us, and has given Himself as an offering, and a sacrifice. So, walking in love is a sacrifice. Walking in love means someone offends you, and you are the one that say, I'm sorry. So then, pass the one I say. He's the one that offended me. Yeah, you are the one that will say, I'm sorry. So what do I have to gain? There's nothing to gain in sacrifice. Nothing. That's why it's a sacrifice. Sacrifice means you have nothing to gain. You have all to lose. Forget those ones that they do in Hollywood. You carry sacrifice, then you're expecting a child. That's not sacrifice. That's something else. Sacrifice means I'm putting it all on the plate for you. If I don't do this, I'm still okay. But I'm doing it anyway. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So sacrifice is not, I'm giving you so I can give me. No. What Jesus did is the example of a sacrifice. If He did not die, nothing is going wrong. If He did not forgive our sins, nothing will happen. But you know what? That man went to the cross, he died for sin, and now we are children of God. That is a sacrifice. It tells you walking in love is a sacrifice. And we saw that from the teaching of Jesus in Matthew 18. Sunday. You learning something? Matthew 18. Verse 15. We are going to read from verse 15 to verse 18 together. Everybody, once you go. Moreover, if your brother trespass against you, if he shall hear you, you have gained your brother. If he will not hear you, then take with you one or two more. The one shall be established. If he shall neglect to hear you, But if he neglect to hear the church, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall lose on earth. What is he saying? If your brother trespass against you, he said, you are the one that will go to him. Yeah, that's against what the world teaches. The world teaches that if I offend Tosin, I should go to Tosin. If Deborah offends me, Deborah should come to me. But Jesus is saying, it's in red letters, come on. If your brother trespass against you, you will go to him. Then tell him his fault. Now you're not telling him his fault and say, can you see a bad person that you are? I trusted you. Who can do that drama queen here? Maybe he told me. You look like it. I trusted you. I gave my whole heart. Whatever that means. What are you going to give half before? I gave you everything I had. You betrayed me. You betrayed me. I will never forgive you. No, that's not go and tell him his fault. Go and tell him his fault so that you can gain your brother. Say, go and tell him his fault. And I've given you examples of how to do that before. So, Damala comes. I come, brother. You offend me, as usual. So he doesn't offend me, my guy. So Damala offends me. What am I going to do? I go to Damala and say, hi. Say, hi, sir. There's no sir here, we are friends, yeah? Say, hi, back. Hi. Why is your eye now low? You can't tell your pastor why. So serious. Then I said, about what happened? I don't want to hear about it! I don't hear about it! He's the one at fault. I don't want to hear about it! Well, the truth is, as much as I don't like what you did, I think this is too small for us to have fight over. We've been through a lot of things. This life is short. Now, whatever that it means, it's not in the Bible, right? We have eternal life. You know, so all of this, you know, see, this is what you did. The point was that, when you came to me, you never told me that this is what happened and all of that. And From my own perspective, I felt there was nothing wrong in doing this. But now, let's just forget about this. Find a place in your heart, forgive me, forget everything that's happened. I'll forget everything that's happened, and we move on. Sorry, how does that sound? But you know what? You are too proud. Don't sit there. That even though God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you, you don't find it easy to now go to others and seek reconciliation. It doesn't make you weak, it makes you strong. I know, many people have thought, if I do that, people will be stepping on my toes. Exactly. That's what we do to Jesus every time. Someone died for your sin, and then you hear the gospel the first time, you said, I don't care. You're stepping on his toes. And yet, it did not remove you from being saved. Amen. You go to your brother, you tell him his fault. If you are a believer in Christ, and there is someone out there that you are keeping malice with, then something is wrong. There should be nobody in the world that you are not talking to. Are you listening to what I'm saying now? Are you listening to me? There should be nobody in the world that you are not on good terms with. I told you many years ago. I said, if you fight me, I will not fight you. I told someone, I said, I used to pastor before. And somebody stopped greeting me. I said, if you don't greet me, I saw her in Lutz. And I was in my house job. And I told her, I said, she walked past me and I smiled. Now, this one we've not seen probably in 3-4 years. And you just walk past me. I thought you just said, Pastor! And she just walked past. Like she never saw anyone. So I called her back. How are you doing? I'm fine. And you? You know how this, and you that is not, that you should not be answering. I said, I'm okay. I said, why didn't you greet me? You know, guess what I heard? Why didn't you greet me too? Really? I said, well, okay, I've greeted you now. Trust you're doing great. And somewhere, somehow, she was shocked. You can't fight me. Because it takes two to fight. Amen. I won't dignify the devil in response. I won't go that low. I'm born of God. I'm born of God. I'm born of God. His blood runs in my veins. So I forgive easily. You know, people in the world, unbelievers might find it difficult to forgive others because they are hurt. But no, what we have learned in Christ is to forgive easily. Is to look like the fool. Shall I say that again? What you have learned in Christ is to look like the fool. But that's the wisdom of God, right? Alright. The followers of God, walk in love. Go back, Ephesians 5. Walk in love. He calls your walk of love, he calls it a sacrifice. A sacrifice. Verse 3. Learn something? But fornication and all uncleanness. Uncleanness means moral, not being pure morally, yeah. It's not being dirty. And all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. That is, saints should not fornicate. Saints should not do unclean things. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. But let's start with the fornication and uncleanness. Because we're in a world where, and I'm going to say this, it appears like it has become the order of the day. In fact, you can't invite two people dating without having sex. And you start to wonder, what is wrong? Pastor, someone asked me one time, Pastor, is it even possible? Let that question come to your heart. What God's word teaches is that you wait till your marriage. Or when you have done your normal rights, you've gone to the court, you've done all those things. Fine, that means you're legally married. Marriage is not until you come to church. Sorry, yo. But once you go to the court, I see you as married. But one I don't understand is, you know that this guy, you're not going to end up anywhere together. I don't know, ladies know, sisters know. Why am I saying sisters? Because it's also in the church of God. I think it's among unbelievers, it's a lie. I taught Kenny last week, God's cure for sin consciousness. I'm going to balance it with what I'm about to say now. Because I'm about to go out. As a believer, self-control must always be on your right hand. The only thing that does not have control is a monster. And anything you cannot control is not from God. Because even the tongues that is of the spirit, you can control it. You can choose when to stop speaking in tongues. You can say, I want to go 12 hours. And you can say, I want to go 1 minute. If you can control tongues, and you have the choice to even walk in the spirit or not, that's fruit of the spirit. God doesn't say, by force, you walk in joy. So every time you just go, hey, glory to God! God doesn't say, by force, you are joyful. He didn't say, by force, you walk in his peace. He didn't say, by force, you walk in kindness and goodness. If you can control all of those things, then whatever you cannot control is not from God. Sometimes learn to just say no to yourself. And that's where fasting comes in. I always tell people that, really, there's nothing special in fasting. Save that, you are training your body. And now what are you saying to your body? I said this 2007. I'm saying it again, 15 years later. That fasting from food means you are telling your body, you will not have what you want today. So if hunger makes you go and break your fast, then you never fast it. Fasting starts when you start getting hungry. You see that morning time? When it's still normal. I'm not feeling hungry, 12 o'clock. Naturally, 2 o'clock, I'm not hungry yet. But Michael is coming to me and say, Pastor, you have not eaten. And I'm asking, what's the time? He say, Pastor, it's 3. I say, oh, okay. Because naturally, Sapa has trained me. When I was in school, I was telling you that when I was in school, I used to take a bottle of Coke, and that's food for the day. So my body mastered Coke as food. And so these days, if I just take Coke, I can go 48 hours. Because to me, I've eaten. Sometimes I can take Coke and I'm not able to eat again. That's bad. Don't get into that. Me, I'm not addicted to it. Amen? I can control it. Because what you cannot control is not from God. Amen? Including love of Coke. When I say Coke, let me say it very well. Coca-Cola. This generation, when I say Coke, the pastor takes Coke. Coca-Cola. The one in the bottle. Not the one in the paper. The one in the cobay. Learn to say no to yourself. Like I said, fasting starts when hunger sets in. So you now start saying, now I'm not going to give you what you want. Because if you can control what you do every day, like eating, then you'll be able to control what you don't do every day. Like sex. But because Allah genu, olonjeja, wabia, you eat everything you see. Believer! Only donut, give me 2. Coca-Cola, give me 2. Yeah, are you not? I want to go and buy porridge. He said, porridge, how much are they selling it? Give me 5 portions. And they brought porridge. You are already 3/4 done. So I don't even feel like eating it again. Sometimes you have eaten 75% of it. Because you eat any, you have no control over your appetite, then you will not have control over a lot of things. Anybody that cannot say no to food, cannot say no to a lot of things. So you need to learn to train yourself. And that's the therapy for looseness. When you discover that your appetite for fornication is high, you need to curtail it. You need to tame it. It doesn't take away your salvation, but it takes away a lot of things. Take prayer rallies. Some of you don't know the essence of prayer rally. You say, my leg is paining me. Exactly. That's when the training has just started. If you pray for 30 minutes, I will just go, can we just give bless the Father? You have prayed, but you have not been trained. You have not disciplined your body. You know why we pray longer? So that you can endure. So if endurance is your issue for running away from prayer meetings, then you are missing out on the training. Those who don't pray for long cannot control themselves. I just said what I said. How many of you, you know what I'm talking about? That prayer. You will see pillar. Pillar will look like your savior. If you be like, let me just hug this pillar and wait 5 minutes. Let me just squat. I remember when I took them to Lutz to pray. 2017, that's 5 years ago. I'm not going to mention names. Amen. Amen. I'm tired. I'm not doing again. How many hours? 10 hours. Was it 10 hours? 10 hours prayer. How many again? But shall I say, stand up, man. The prayer exposes people.
You must learn that training.
It's not easy, but that's why it's the training. Amen? Amen? The fornication is not part of the fruit of the Spirit. For every time you're yielding to it, you're not walking in the light. You are actually walking in darkness. If you feel like you're overwhelmed with sexual desires, go get married. Go get married and you'll be done. To tire you. That's when you know your life is more than sex. You have bills. You have bills to pay. You are rich. What is that issue? Go marry. I will stop you. Is that clear? Is that clear? So Paul is teaching. You know, a lot of people shy away from what is bad in church. They see fornication and say, oh, glory to God. So fornication, uncleanness, hallelujah. Neither filthiness is a lie. Let's be there. We don't want to talk about it. We'll talk about it. Glory. Free fornication. Pastor God says, you know, free fornication. Hallelujah. For married people, flee adultery. But the issue is not trying to copy. The issue is training yourself to naturally live in self-control. It starts with the little things. Oh, you have this immense desire to buy this stuff. And then you just tell yourself, there's nothing wrong in it though. The time I had one very, very intense desire, I was going to travel, and because I hate commuting land, I hate any journey that has gone beyond 20 minutes. I don't like it. So I said, I'm going to buy a PSP. How much is PSP? PSP is cheap. I said, I'm going to buy, Matt, I'll buy 120, 150 now. I said, I'm going to buy a PSP. Just for the sake of the journey. So I can, at least by the time I play Champions League, I'll reach Ibadan. And his desire was also intense. I just said, let me lay hold on this desire. It's intense, so I will not buy it. Now, that was all I needed to make a very nice journey and all that. I said, I will not buy it. Not because there's something wrong with it. And I had some cash to flow then. That would have been nothing to buy, actually. I just imagine, I said, if this desire is so intense, then let me control it. Let me just control it. And you know what? It was at that time I started seeing on my status. PS before sale. Cheap. What kind of thing is it? I'll go to Instagram, I'll just see, clinic on computers. PSP. You people are conniving with the devil. You know, and I got it in cheaper prices. In fact, one person messaged me and said, in fact, he just bought a PS5, so he wants to sell this one so that I can have more money. That I should come and buy it for 40,000. I said, and this is investment, I can just buy it for 40 and sell it later. And I told myself, I said, no investment. You are just trying to convince yourself to still work in what you have said you are not going to do. Control yourself. Start with the little things. I saw this style on Instagram. I so much admire it, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to give myself at least a year to do it. How about that? Oh yeah. Pastor. Just taking control of things. Hallelujah. Say fornication. Uncleanliness. Covetousness. Covetousness. He said, let it not be named among you. What about the middle talk about? Filthiness, foolish talking, jesting. Foolish talking. That's buffoonery. Clowning. Is the word morologia in the Greek. M-O-R-O-L-O-G-I-A. Foolish talking. Jesting. No, that witticism. What do you call it now? I'm catching crews. You are using pastors to catch crews. You are using the church of God to catch crews. You are using elderly people in the society to catch crews. Or whatever you call it. I'm saying that because that might not work in some years to come and someone will be listening to this teaching. Where you are catching crews with, you are clowning, what an age we are in. And all of this is because of stupid information. Yeah, Twitter rumor, because of here. Twitter space. Anybody can talk once they have data now. Someone that cannot stand you in real life to talk to you face to face. One small boy was talking to me online one time. The only reason I left Facebook, that Facebook is worse. I said, this one, I want to get a profile against her. If you see me and I'm talking, you will keep quiet. And I'm taking away Bible knowledge. Who is this one? Well, he has data and he has phone. No, when I was much younger, it was easier to walk in the spirit. Because before you even watch a movie, you have to register in a video club. Right? You register in a video club, you write your name. You pay monthly fee. How many of you know video club? Let's jam anywhere. Aha. You have to be at least 96, 97, you'll probably be very small. Video club. Akira. You know my baba like that. Akira, that company. That's the video club that we are in. So anyway, all these cases, all these big, VCD. Is it VCD? So when you use disco, CD, cassette, see what, that you slot in, that you rewind. Ah. You said, boy, you walk in the flesh, you sweat. And we used to subscribe them with, 15 naira per month. You said, you can't walk in the flesh easy. There's television, NBA starts by 4 o'clock. There's no TV from morning to 4 o'clock. It's 4 o'clock, you now see that red, white, and da, da, da. And once it's 10, you start from 10 first. 10 p.m., they'll close. Then later, they say 2 to 12. But now, TV, 24, eternal life, 24-7. Wake up 2 a.m., there's TV. You are shaking bumbo. And so all of these things make us prone to all of those things that Paul mentioned, uncleanliness, fornication, they are a result of information you feed your eyes, feed your ears with. So be careful what you feed your eyes. That's all. Oh, be careful little eyes what you see. Oh, be careful little ears what you hear. Oh, be careful little mouth what you speak. Be careful. On TV. Then later, they now start bringing in a dish. It's on at CNN. Ah. CNN. The dish should be as big as this room. To have CNN. And you'll be seeing them as the rich people of this world. The dish, they can cook party dollar for inside the dish. Now, with a small, what's device? It does data. You access anything. You can't even use internet. You have to go to a cyber cafe. You buy 30 minutes. They'll give you code. XY12424. You put it, and when 30 minutes is over, your data is over. You don't know cyber cafes. But now, you see a 12-year-old. iPhone 12, 13, iPhone 13, 14 years old, iPhone 14. What are you doing on your phone? On Instagram. You spend too much time on social media. Let me just tell you, there is no way you can escape the flesh. The formula is not, it's not more than that though. You spend too much time on a platform that is not designed to glorify God. I'm not saying it's a bad one. I'm on Instagram, amen. I'm not on Twitter, but I'm on Instagram. Don't think I'm on Facebook. I don't know. That should not be. Should I classify that as on Facebook? Am I there? I'm there like I'm not there, sha. My fam is there for me. He's a Facebook guy. Yeah, I'm brought it. Old school. But I'm on Instagram. I'm now on school. LinkedIn. They lie too much there. So, for God to be glorified. Too much lies. NYSE. I've been called to serve my father and Obama law. Congratulations to me. I just earned my khaki. But if you spend all your time focusing on what the world gives and not what the word of God is saying, then don't be surprised when you start walking in the way of the world. People are being challenged of when they need to preach in church. Now they are smoking. And you are laughing and you are liking it. Then you not end up like that. Fornication. Uncleanliness. Jesting, clowning, they are all result of the information that you have put in your head. Don't join the bad wagon of catching crews. Something happened 2020. Was it 2020? ENSAS. Huh? As pure as probably the motive was, whatever the motive was really, because eventually it was clowned out. When they started eating at the place, I knew that was a problem. Started watching match. How do you go and pretend that I start watching match? That's why I knew that there was a problem. Nobody goes to war and start cooking. As far as the motive is, so I was okay with it. And I told someone at work, I said, you see this generation, it's my generation. I'm young, I'm very young. A lot of people, most of you are older than I am, right? Right? 90% of you are older. But you see this generation. I'm also a shewa. How do I put it like this? Not knowing how to talk is not fashion. Tell them not to talk. So I'm talking with you, and you're talking to an elderly person. How can you grow old? You can't. don't let the plethora of information that we have in this age be what makes you walk in the flesh the more.
I walk in the spirit. Every time. Every day. Everywhere. Alright, so it says, neither filthiness, verse 4, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. The word convenience is the word aneko. A-N-E-K-O. A-N-E-K-O. Which are not fit. That's the word convenience. They are not fit for you. They are not fit for the child of God. They are not proper. You find the same word used in Colossians 3:18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband, as it is fit in the Lord. I don't know if you are a feminist. That's okay with you. I'm also a feminist. But the Bible teaches that wives submit to the husband, and the husbands love the wife. I don't know what else you want, but I think that's just. Amen. But someone must lead. Why can't the woman lead? Nobody said woman cannot lead. Can't be the head of the household. Who said the woman cannot lead? But just ensure that both of you are not equal. Let's say it again. Let someone lead. All these, no man can, you don't love him. When I heard all of those talks, because I'm still going to go to wife, Christ and the Church, Ephesians 5:22 very well, where it's taught properly. All this, I cannot submit to any man. I cannot change my name. Do you actually love him? If you do, I don't think that would be an issue. If he loves you too, I don't think it would also be an issue for him to say, okay, keep your name. So we should be more concerned about you loving each other than who is head and who is tail. Amen? Anybody can be the head, right? Actually. No, I'm serious. But two of you cannot be in control. And by two of you, I mean husband and wife. No. Excuse me. Not Adam and Steve. It's Adam and Eve. Not Adam and Ejode Olorun. The Bible is against it. There's no inclusion. There's no, what do you prefer to be called? This girl faith is he and him. Debbie is she and her. Prophet said, I like to be called her, but I will deliver you by mighty hands. I will rescue you. Pastor, when I was in school, one guy came, pharmacy, the pastor wants to see you. You know that boy, Abby? That's not fine. I want to see him. See me. That was at the outreach meeting. I used to have outreach meeting every third Friday. But that's the outreach meeting. And I absolutely love it. Timo Dagbagu, I don't think I hear for 4 days. That's deliverance from the enemy. Amen. Amen. Call me what you want, call me old school. That's what the Bible teaches. It says, it's not convenient. Why submit yourself as it is fit? You find in Philemon 1, the word aneko. Philemon 8, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin you that which is convenient. What's the issue? Onesimus offended Philemon, right? Onesimus offended Philemon. Paul is begging for Onesimus that Philemon can take him back to his house. And Paul says, I am enjoining you that which is convenient in Christ. That is, this is what is proper. This is what is fit. If you are doing something else, then it is not proper. Go back to Ephesians 5:4. So Paul says, filthiness, fornication is not proper. It's not fit. It's not befitting of a child of God. Verse 5. For this you know, that no warmonger, or unclean person, or covetous man, or an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Warmonger is prostitute. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not therefore partakers with them. Can we verse 8 together? For you are sometimes darkness, but you are now light in the Lord. Walk as children. See, I walk as a child of the light. I walk as a child of the light. So Paul is making that difference clear. He's saying, see, you are sometimes darkness, but now you are light. You are sometimes darkness, but yeah, now you are light. When you say darkness, your mind go back to Genesis. Darkness is the state without the Spirit of God, right?
The earth was without form, Genesis 1-2. And the Spirit of God moved out of the face of the waters. The earth was without form and dark. Again, when the Spirit of God came, there was light. Right? So darkness is the state without the Spirit of God. Light is the state with the Spirit of God. So again, Paul is saying, you are sometimes without God's Spirit, but now you are light. He's separating you. He's separating you. The believer must always realize that the resurrection and the gospel that he has believed has made a difference. Let me say this. The reason why a lot of people still fall into sin and the trap of the evil one is because they don't realize that they are saved in the first place. They don't even realize that they are changed. They don't realize that there's a difference. I'm changed. There's a difference. I'm not the same man who I was when I was not born again. I'm not the same. I'm not the same. I've been changed. You must realize that difference. There's a big chasm. There's a big gap between it. There is a difference. And it is that difference that makes you walk in the light. See, let me say this. The day you start realizing that you're actually a child of God, a lot of things will change. A lot of things will start happening. Addiction will start getting broken. Because now you realize who you are and what you are. We sang that song earlier. I am who you say I am. I can do what you say I can do. I have what you say I have. That must be your confession. That must be your reality. If you say I'm not a fornicator, then I'm not. If you say I'm not a thief, then I'm not. If you say I'm your child, if you say I'm holy and blameless, if you say I'm blessed with all the blessings of the Spirit, then that's what I am. You must learn that there's a difference. When you come to Christ, stop thinking of yourself as, I know myself. So stop saying that. Start seeing yourself as God sees you. You must change your eyes. You must change your lens. You start seeing yourself in the light of God's word. So if he says you are blameless, then you walk in that. If he says you are holy. If he says you can live, you can put away bitterness, then you can put it away. If he says you can put away fornication, then you can put it away. If you say you can walk in love, then you can walk in love. Don't say, pastor, it's hard. Nah, I can do what he says I can do. Amen. So you must always realize that the resurrection now makes you a different person. Paul kept mentioning that difference. And that's how you walk in God's will. In chapter 2, Ephesians, he mentioned that difference. And every time, listen very well, every time Moses is about to tell the children of Israel what they will do, listen very well. You know what he first said? Huh? I am the Lord that what? Brought you out from Egypt. He first makes that difference. That you are not in Egypt. I have brought you out. I have separated you. Now you will honor father and mother. Now you will not covet your neighbor's property. Why? Because I have brought you out of Egypt. So God separates us, then asks us to walk in his will. And guess what? They are not difficult. Because that is our reality. That is our nature. We sang that song earlier. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Sin has no power over me. God has already accepted me. That's who we are. That's what we are. Amen. Amen. In chapter 2. You learn something? Verse 1. And you, he has quickened. Who were once dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walk according to the course of the world, of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in children of disobedience, among whom we have our behavior in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we are dead in sin, he has quickened us together with Christ, and he has raised us, verse 6, and made us sit together with him in heavenly places, that in ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, and in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, through faith, not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works that a man should be. Can we read verse 10 together? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had ordained before the world. That was what? I'm his workmanship. Actually, that word poema, P-O-I-E-M-A, I'm his product. How about that? I'm his craft, P-O-I-M-E-A, E-M-A rather. P-O-I-E-M-A, I'm God's product. So the next time, you need to remind yourself of that. I'm created in Christ of the good works. Like that's the only song. I know my life is not my own.
And I offer up the song of praise to bring you pleasures, Lord. I seek the giver and his gift. My desire is to lift you high. Above all everything, I'll bring you pleasures, Lord.
So that is our life. Revelation 4:11. It says all things were made for his pleasure. You are part of that. Hallelujah. You know, I was actually created to serve God. I was created to walk in the Spirit. I was created to live a holy life. So that's what I'll do. That's what I'll do. I don't walk in darkness. Because I'm not a child of the darkness. I'm a child of the light. Jesus has his way in me every time. Jesus has me every time. That's how you must remind yourself. You must remind yourself that you are different. So, damn what the devil is doing and what he thinks he wants to get you to think. I am different. The resurrection makes me different. I'm different. I'm different. I'm different. I'm different. So, Paul keeps telling you that there's a difference. As I close, chapter 4, verse 17. This I say therefore, are you there? Come on. This I say therefore in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being in time past have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to walk all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. So again, it makes a difference of who you are. I'm different. Don't let the devil deceive you that you are all the same thing. You are just trying to go to church and that. No, I'm different. Someone tells you, see, everybody does this. I'm different. I'm born of God. I don't walk in the dark. You must learn to tell yourself. You must learn to reckon with this reality. Reckon with this reality. I'm different. The blood of Jesus has made me pure. And because of Jesus, my heart is clean. You're different. So, his instructions, when he says, put away bitterness, go back to chapter 5. Put away bitterness, wrath, clamor, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talk, injustice, warmonger, unclean person, covetous, idolatry. He's talking from an informed perspective. Informed that you are different. Pray for me. So when you see instructions and what to do in God's word, then what he's not just saying that start trying to do it. No, he's telling you what you can do. Let me say it again. He's not saying try. When he says put away bitterness, he's not saying try to. He's telling you, you actually can do it because you're born of God. You actually can put away fornication because you're born of God. So, Pastor, it's difficult, but you're born of God. There's nothing impossible. You know what's going to happen in 2022? God is going to turn strange addictions to spiritual growth. He's going to turn strange habits, evil habits, ungodly acts. You are going to channel that same energy and you're going to use it for His glory. Because you are born to give Him pleasures. And so while the world might not see that, why people might just think, we are just going to church. What might just go to church? Nah. You know that your life is more than that. You are a child of the light. Don't let the devil think you and to think you to think small. And you start telling yourself, maybe that's what everybody does. Everybody have their own, what do you call it, skeleton in the cupboard. Shut up. Don't give an excuse to walk in the darkness. Walk in the light. When an excuse comes your way, take it out of the way. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. And when the road seems dark, turn on the light. Turn it on by God's word. Never spend a day thinking that you cannot do God's will. Never spend a day that thinking that it's impossible. Never spend a day thinking that, can I actually live holy life? God is sending Paul to you. And he's telling you, what is fit of a child of God is a life without fornication.
is if he says that's what is fit and I'm a child of God, then that's my life. What is fit of a child of God? Is a life without idolatry, a life without covetousness, a life without bitterness, without hatred, without envy, without strife. And that's who I am. And that's how I walk. The church is where we hear the truth of God's word. Sometimes that's not what you want to hear. You're looking for someone that will tell you five things that will happen this week, that you'll be rich and all of that. Don't worry, your needs are met, your bills are paid. But you know what? God wants you to walk in the light. And so throw away the past. I don't care if you have messed up. I said it last week. Because God doesn't care. I don't care. If your conscience judges us, huh? We have God and He's greater than our conscience. 1 John 3:19-20. So, it's time to walk in the light. I know some habits are looking like, oh, it's already a part of me. It's time to walk in the light. You stand walking down. Because you're different. You're different. In God there's light. And we are children of the light. You know, 1 Peter 2:9. Say you're a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A peculiar people. To declare the praise of Him. Who has called us out. From darkness into His marvelous light. I know where I'm coming from. He has changed my estate from darkness to His light. And that's what Jesus told Paul. He said, what you're going to do for people is that you turn them from darkness to light. From the power of Satan to the power of God. And that's my life. So I find it unfit to lie. I find it unfit to steal. I find it unfit to commit fornication. I find it unfit to whatever, bribery, idolatry. I find it unfit. I don't find it easy. Because I'm a child of God. And my reality is the holy. The holy is my reality. I'm holy. Holiness, that's my reality. Doing the right things, that's my reality. And at the end of the day, I'm a child of the light. I won't succumb to what the devil is saying. My flesh will not have the better part of me. I'm in control. I'm in charge. And so when the pressure comes rushing in and knocking in, I take full control by the Spirit of God. At those moments, the Spirit of God is strengthening me. He's strengthening me. I'm not guilty. I'm holy. I don't walk in darkness. We have no fellowship with darkness. We have no warning. We have nothing to do with darkness. We have verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And we have no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness. But rather, to reprove them. How do we reprove them? We reprove them by the word. We have no fellowship with the work of darkness. We reprove them. I'm a child of God. And I'm walking in the light. You know my story is a story of the light. I put away the past. I put the past behind me. And I move on. I walk on in this light from today. From today I'm strong. I'm strong in His strength. From today, I'm standing in His might. I'm full of His power. I have self-control. Pray for yourself this morning. In his light I find light. And the workmanship of God in Christ Jesus. Sin has no power over me. I'm the righteousness of God. Pray for yourself this morning.